You're listening to the Converging Paths podcast, brought to you by Barakat Trust, with the support of the Al Tahrir Trust and the Aga Khan Trust for Culture.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. I'm Hugo Cook with the Barakat Trust, and with us today, we are delighted to have Rachel Dedman, who's going to be speaking to us about a terrific new exhibition she's been curating in Kettle's Yard in Cambridge, as well as in the Whitworth in Manchester. An amazing exhibition on a specific area of textiles, Palestinian textiles. Hi, Rachel. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. No, thanks for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and about your work?
Sure. I'm a curator predominantly, but also a writer and an art historian, specialised in the Middle East, particularly contemporary, modern and contemporary art and design from the Middle East. And I'm currently the Jamil Curator of Contemporary Middle East at the Victoria and Albert Museum in London. But I also have an independent practice that in particular, sort of one area of specialism is Palestinian dress and embroidery. And as you said, that's going to be the topic of our podcast today. And it's still on show, so until April 7th, 2024. So if you're listening now, you can still go see it.
Wonderful. Well, it is a terrific exhibition. So I thought I'd start with asking what inspired this particular exhibition.
Well, I have been working on the subject of Palestinian embroidery and dress for the better part of a decade now, and originally came to the subject because I was commissioned by the Palestinian Museum, which is based in Bir Zeit in the West Bank of Palestine. And in about 2014, I think, I started work for them on a show that they wanted me to curate in Beirut in Lebanon, where I was living. The museum wasn't yet open and they were doing transnational shows to reach their diaspora audiences. And I had the privilege of mobility, the ability to travel to both Lebanon and Palestine to do research. And little did I know that that first encounter with embroidery, the start of that research 10 years ago now, would be the beginning of many shows, several books, lots of projects. But there were two exhibitions entitled At the Seams and Labour of Love that happened in Lebanon and Palestine. And then Material Power, the current show, has kind of emerged as a new chapter and the next phase of those. I was invited by Andrew Nairn, the director of Kettle's Yard, to reimagine the exhibition for UK audiences and to bring it to Cambridge and Manchester.
Fantastic. This exhibition focusing on tatris and Palestinian embroidery, can you tell us a bit about what's interesting about this specific form of textile compared to, say, other textiles people will see in collections around the UK? What should draw people to this particular topic as an area of interest?
Well, Material Power spans well over a century of embroidery, dress and material heritage from Palestine. I think something that makes Palestinian embroidery particular compared to other global craft practices, and you know, embroidery is one of these things that feels like a universal human craft. Cultures all over the world engage with embroidery and textiles in different ways. But in Palestine, it's really characterized by extraordinary regional variety. I like to think of Palestinian embroidery as a kind of visual language shared and spoken by women. In its heyday in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, what you put on your body, the way that you embroidered in this very complex, rich and spectacularly beautiful way, really spoke of who you were, your personality, your identity, your origins. And above all, embroidery was a marker of place. So each region, even individual villages in Palestine, had their particular approaches to textiles, cuts, colours, motifs, designs and so on. And the exhibition offers a sort of immersion in that historical tradition, but then kind of expands the story to look at how embroidery has evolved and transformed over time, partly in the response to geopolitical changes in Palestine, become an instrument of resistance, become a new medium for contemporary artists. And so I think that's partly what makes, what for me makes Palestinian dress so fascinating, is that it's really embedded in the kind of economic, social, political events of its day and becomes a lens for unfolding this really rich and intimate human history of a place.
Amazing. That's a wonderful description. And whereabouts did you source the loans for this exhibition that brought it all together so magnificently?
Well, the exhibition really brings together, as you say, lots of different materials. So there's a host of amazing historical embroidered dress, but we've tried to really contextualize and enrich all of that material with loans from contemporary artists who continue to work with embroidery today, sort of reflecting on the critical power of embroidery in the present to think about the world's issues through the eyes of artists, but a lot of archival photography too, paintings, posters, this sort of material alongside. And it was really important for me that, particularly with the historical dresses, with the thobes that sit at the heart of the show, that these come from collections that are based in the Middle East itself, particularly in Palestine. So much of my research about this exhibition, as I said, started years ago, really involved going out and meeting researchers, collectors, those who run little museums, who hold collections in their homes. So many of them are women, and threw open their wardrobes, their attics, these chests full of dresses, and sort of pulled them out one by one and told me the stories that associated with them. And of course, Palestinian embroidery exists in museum collections in the UK, such as at the V&A, where I'm actively in charge of cataloguing that collection and looking after it, and British Museum too, National Museum Scotland. But it felt like it was very important that we borrow and collaborate with collectors based in the region, in Palestine and in Jordan. People like Widad Kawar, who runs Tiraz, the Home for Arab Dress in Amman, with Dar Tifl al Arabi, the Palestine Heritage Center in Jerusalem, with private collectors like Maha Abu Shoshe or George Al Amma, and to benefit from their expertise and their knowledge as much as from their objects, and to not rely on colonially formed collections that exist here in the UK, but rather to support collections that are really forged in Palestine by those who are most passionate about the preservation of embroidery.
I think that's wonderful because when people go to an exhibition, they'll usually see objects that have historically been on display in exhibitions. And here's a chance for people to see things which have never been seen by the wider world before. What an amazing opportunity. You also mentioned resistance in the context of embroidery. Can you comment a little on the connection between embroidery and resistance as a concept?
Yes, I'm very interested in this idea, that sort of a thread that's like unraveled throughout the exhibition, because for me, textiles play this maybe unlikely role in resistance or protest. But in Palestine, the way I see it is that after 1948, embroidery shifted from this practice that was really done by a rural woman for her own wear, something that she stitched as part of the patterns and the rites of passage of her lifetime, part of her everyday rural life and agriculture. That changes enormously after this moment of rupture, and embroidery instead becomes part of a revival of heritage that begins in a kind of concerted way across Palestine. So embroidery is taken up as this important symbol, both as craft, as heritage, as part of this idea of like a perfect Palestinian past, the Palestinian pastoral almost. So you start to see embroidery and women wearing it represented in artists' work, in paintings, on posters, circulating in a new sort of economy for the image. And for the first time, these women who maybe didn't have a lot of political visibility were, thanks to the associations of embroidery, somehow taken up as this symbol for the nation. And this sort of soft politicization of embroidery then is supported by the idea that the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, would start to kind of circulate embroidery in exhibitions abroad that would operate in this kind of soft diplomatic way. So when, I don't know, Yasser Arafat went to meet the King of Spain, they would mount this exhibition of embroidery, or they'd have people dancing dabke in embroidered dress. So embroidery is suddenly playing this role in the construction of images and ideas of Palestinian nationhood. And then One sort of key moment in the exhibition is focused particularly on the First Intifada, this moment of uprising in the late 1980s, when women started to stitch explicit motifs of resistance onto their dresses. Dresses historically, as anyone who Googles Palestinian embroidery will see, is much more connected historically to the land. Motifs are often inspired by nature, fauna, flora, local architecture, things like this. But during the Intifada, these Intifada dresses started to take traditional motifs and render them in national colours, and then come up with this whole new vocabulary: guns and doves and love hearts and the Dome of the Rock or Al-Aqsa Mosque or the letters PLO or the silhouette, the map of Palestine, its flag, and so on. And these dresses for me are so interesting because they, on the one hand, they render women's bodies the site of resistance, and on the other, they sort of counter or challenge what we might think of when we think of the material culture of protest. You know, if we go to a march or something, on the whole, we tend to make things that are quite spontaneous and quick. We scrawl a sign, or we print out a poster, or we, I don't know, someone might graffiti something. They're pretty instant. But anyone who has ever embroidered knows that above all, it takes a really, 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 really long time. And so these dresses, being many months or even years in the making, capture this idea of Palestinian resistance as an event. Something characterized by sumud, by steadfastness, by a long struggle rather than something that happens quickly. So they are really incredible objects, and for me, you know, embody at the core the ways in which clothing, something that we might think of as, I don't know, relatively superficial, can really sit at the core of identity.
I find that incredibly interesting. Exactly as you said about how we see clothing today. I suppose in a world of fast fashion, we often wouldn't imagine clothing as something that could have such a political story woven into it, in the things we wear. So really eye-opening to see it in that sort of context. Now, the exhibition includes this incredible wealth of archival material and commissioned film alongside these dresses and textiles that were found. And it also includes a mixture of historical dresses and contemporary art. How did you approach its curation with this really wonderful, varied array of material?
Yeah, this was really from the very beginning has been a core part of my approach to the subject, as I said, to try and create this very rich and layered encounter for a visitor, so that even as you're looking at a historical dress, maybe you have a piece of fabric that's there for you to touch, for you to feel, to get a sense of the texture of this historical dress. You're looking at an archival image, so you understand how it would originally have been worn. You're seeing a motif rendered graphically that you can then like identify and spot on a dress, trying to both equip a visitor with the ability to read and identify and decode embroidery, and at the same time to bring different voices into the picture. I think that was crucial from the start. So the exhibition and all the shows I've made on this subject have included film that I commissioned for the very first show on this subject from the artist Maeve Brennan. And she was also living in Beirut at the time when I was working on this show and had the ability to travel. And we traveled across the region together in Palestine, Lebanon, and Jordan, meeting Palestinian embroiderers who work today to reflect upon the conditions in which embroidery is created in the present. And to be able to capture the voices and the testimonies of those women, and to make sure that they're heard and amplified in the show. So Maeve created a single film called The Embroiderers, about 20, 23 minutes. It's available on YouTube in the Palestinian Museum's channel and is totally worth a watch for anyone interested. But Maeve also edited a number of shorter clips that just 1 to 2 minutes. That bring these women's testimonies into the space of the exhibition. So while you're, for instance, looking at this dress that belonged to a little girl in the early 20th century, and we're describing how women in the earliest point of their girlhood would learn to embroider, et cetera, you then can watch and can listen to the testimonies from one of the women we met, who describes how she herself was taught to embroider. In fact, she was sent to a neighbor to learn, and then apparently it was terrible, so the neighbor gave up on her, and she then like proved her wrong and became the best embroiderer in the village. So that for me was really vital, that the exhibition could be a space in which we amplified and shared the voices and experience of Palestinian women, and approached embroidery as an active, living, breathing craft, not something that is purely confined to history. And I suppose the same impulse underpins the inclusion of contemporary artists. We're working with artists like Mona Hatoum and Khalil Rabah, Munir al-Soleh, Aya Haider, Mejd Abdel Hamid, the Bilad Bidello Collective, to think about, for me, what's so powerful about their work is how embroidery remains this critical tool in the present and can be used to think about the questions, the issues of identity, of resistance, of endurance, of heritage from different angles in the present. So, do I have time to give you one example?
Absolutely, yes.
At the very end of the show, as it is in Manchester, at the Whitworth, we're showing this beautiful new work by Munir al-Soleh. She's taken these bed sheets, these bed covers, these blankets that I think anyone who's spent time in the Middle East will instantly recognize. They're kind of ubiquitous across the Levant, Syria, Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon. You find them in different colors. You just recognize them from your family home. And what she's done, she's strung them up in the gallery like tents. They sort of float above your head. But across the surface of them, they're dotted with these little holes that have been made in the surface and then hemmed to create these kind of, I don't know, a pockmarked surface. And this recalls the memories that Munira has as a child growing up during the Lebanese Civil War, when she was afraid at night from the conflict. Her mother would let her tear little holes in her pajamas and then sew them closed, kind of as an act of meditative distraction. But what the effect is in sort of reproducing that ritual of childhood is that as you stand below them and you look up, you almost have the experience of sitting in a refugee's tent, broken and dotted with bullet holes. But on the floor, as the light streams through, it becomes like a reflected sky full of stars. And this is accompanied with an audio installation of the sounds of children singing lullabies in different languages and the sounds of sewing and knitting. And it conjures somehow the comfort that I think we find so many of us in needle and thread, and the way embroidery can be a force for catharsis or familiarity, for safety or healing. But it also brings so powerfully to mind everything that is happening in Gaza right now and all the challenges facing those who are there, particularly women and girls with whom sort of textiles and embroidery is associated. I'm aware we're recording this on International Women's Day, so that feels all the more fitting.
Yeah, that's a brilliant point. Wonderful. You talked a little bit about the importance of bringing these different voices into the work and these voices of these different women, particularly Palestinian women. Can you tell us a little bit about one quite interesting part about the public program related to the exhibition, which was the public program with Corona House in Cambridge? And can you tell the listeners a little bit about what that was, how it worked, and the impetus behind it?
Yeah, we're so grateful to the Barakat Trust and the Hands on Islamic Art Grant for enabling this aspect of our public programme. So or I say we, it was really Kettle's Yard that led on this, but they commissioned one of our contemporary artists, Aya Haider, whose work is absolutely amazing. She works with embroidery, and we're showing a piece of hers in the exhibition that's incredibly powerful. But so much of her practice is really around social work, working with communities and using the practice of producing and creating embroidery together as a way of forging new networks, creating community and connecting person to person with those that she works with. And so Corona House is a space and an organization in Cambridge that works with women who are vulnerable in lots of different senses of that. And over quite a long duration of several months, Met regularly with a group of women, mostly in person, but I think online as well, who were invited to come together and to work with her in the space and to try out embroidery, to begin to make something together. And I think they were beginning to embroider something domestic. Perhaps it was a tea towel or something quite simple. And as I understand it from her, and I wasn't in the room, she goes into these things without a great deal of planning or expectation. She's there to feel her way with the women that she meets and is working with. And from that, the kind of nature of the project unfolds. And I think this was an incredible experience for everybody. She said they bonded enormously. Women who were living in quite difficult situations or had gone through quite difficult experiences maybe were slow to warm up, but over time, just the simple act of coming together as women, creating and forging a safe, consistent space, and of being distracted, of doing embroidery, helps to encourage you to speak about difficult things with those that you have forged trust with. So I don't know, maybe this sounds a little bit abstract, but that's really the point of this project, was supporting the healing and the forging of a trustful, safe space among vulnerable people through the enduring power of textiles and making.
Wonderful. I mean, I think it was a brilliant proposal because it links something quite interesting about this art form. You're talking about that social element of women coming together and bringing that social element of it into social work. Brilliant. So, what sort of things do you have planned for the future? What are your plans looking like, and where can we see you next?
Well, the exhibition is, as I said, still on in Manchester at the Whitworth, free to visit until the 7th of April 2024. And then, who knows, it may continue somewhere else at some stage. We're sort of thinking about that in the early stages at the moment. Otherwise, for me at the V&A, I am curating our next edition of the Jameel Prize, which this year brings together seven artists from across the Middle East and South Asia, who are working on moving image and digital media works connected to some element of Islamic art, history, culture, society, and ideas, which I'm very excited about. Watch this space, end of November. And more immediately, I'm co-curating with a friend and colleague the State of Fashion Biennial in the Netherlands in May, which is devoted to fashion in an expanded field. So clothing, fashion, contemporary art, textiles from across the global south. So if anyone's interested, they can follow me online and hear more about it.
Amazing. Well, it's been a terrific exhibition so far, so I'm very impressed. And I look forward to being able to hopefully get up to Manchester to see it in that space as well as Cambridge's one. But Rachel, thank you so much for taking the time to tell us all about it today and to open our eyes a little to this terrific form of textile, which many in England won't have heard of, but should have, and hopefully now will. Thank you very much for your time and see you soon.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Bye.